and God is blessing us this morning. We are going to start on a new series of study on the book of James. There is a handout that you have received. If you have not, please grab a handout. We will go according to the handout. Everything is going to be very well done, in the sense there will be no delay in the church meeting. The church is going to end up in time. I want you all to relax and sit in God's presence this morning as God wants to talk to us. The book of James is called a book of practical Christianity. Living out your faith, that is what the book of James says about. And let me first of all say that God's plan is not just about us getting knowledge from the Word of God, but also applying it on a practical sense. We need to understand God's Word, and we need to apply that in our day-to-day life. This is what God's plan is. The reason we come to the church is to understand God's plan and then go out of the church into the world, into the marketplace, wherever God has placed you, to live out what you have learned. We need to apply and what we have learned, and that is how we change and we grow. So the objective is for the entire series is that you will be discovering certain biblical truths. And as you discover the biblical truths, God will give you the understanding of His Word, and then you go out wherever God has placed you to apply whatever you have learned, that you will be used for the glory of God. Today I want to present to you a survey of the book of James. I am making a case for practical Christianity. And let me tell you, I don't know how many of you know about it. I didn't know this. The book of James is the first book that was ever written in the New Testament era. The book of James. So, it is a good start for us to move forward. Now, let me start with saying the statement. The Bible has two important themes. Number one, the way to God. The way to God and the walk with God. There are two themes that Bible presents. When we read different books of the Bible, either they are directed towards lost people who need to find their way to God, or they are directed towards good people who need to walk with God on a day-to-day basis. Now, it will be surprising to know that most of the books of the Bible are directed towards the saints, people who know God, because the Bible wants you to walk with God on a day-to-day basis. And among the books, James is a leader in the New Testament when it says that not only you need to know, but you need to do. And that is why the book of James gives us practical guidelines about what we need to do, how we need to live out our faith. So, let us understand that James, the book of James, is compared to the book of Proverbs of the Old Testament. Just like Proverbs is involved in giving you practical teachings, James is also giving you practical guidelines for daily Christian living. And it is basically like a compact travel guide. When we go on a journey, you use that guide to understand, what do I do next? What do I do this? So it's a practical guide that you are going to be looking through as we read the book of James. James is not supposed to be a great doctrinal book. It's not a doctrinal treatise, because if you see, Jesus Christ is only mentioned twice or two times in the book of James. Also, we see that there is no reference to the cross or the resurrection or the Holy Spirit in the entire book of James. There is no reference at all. So, the book of James is not trying to bring a doctrine and make you understand, but practical living. This is what James is all concerned with. So, let me tell you one thing, that James was written to emphasize living out the truth. You need to live out the truth that you know. One of the biggest problems in our life is we know a lot of things, but we don't apply it in our personal lives. And that is what we need to do that. So if James was to ask us a question, this is a question that James is going to ask us. If you say you believe, why do you act like you don't? Let me repeat the question back to you. If you say you believe, why do you act like you don't? Which means, many times we say we believe many things, but when it comes to practical situations in our life, like a problem comes, a calamity comes, we hear a bad news, we lose a job, we discover that there is a serious sickness in our body, we act as if we do not know, even though the Bible is clearly saying what we need to do. So this is a question that if James has got a chance, he would ask us this question. If you say you believe, why do you act like you don't? Let me come to the and speak for a few minutes about the writer of the book of James. You know, James introduces himself. When you turn to James chapter 1 and verse number 1, James is introducing himself as a bond servant of God and Jesus Christ. He says, I am the James, the bond servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the New Testament, there are five people who go by the name of James. But the Bible scholars have understood, and they all agree, that the James who wrote the epistle of the book of James was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which means, after Jesus was born, we know that Mary and Joseph had other children through their own marriage. And for a reference, you can turn to Matthew and chapter 13 and verses 55 and 56, where it is mentioned about James and Joseph and other people and sisters that Mary and Joseph had after Jesus was born to Mary. So the James who wrote the book of the epistle, he was actually the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And they say that he was the firstborn of Mary and Joseph. So after Jesus, the eldest was James. Now you understand that James had to grow up in a family where the eldest brother was perfect. You know, Jesus was perfect in everything. And he had to fill his shoes. And the Bible scholars believe that because of the fact that he had to live up to his older brother, many times he became very skeptical about Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that James was not at all believing that Jesus is the Lord. As he grew up, we know that he did not believe in Jesus. And he actually reacted very badly when Jesus claimed himself to be the Messiah. There is a verse in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where it says that James and the other brothers did not behave well when they heard that Jesus has proclaimed himself as the Messiah. In fact, they did not believe Jesus. John chapter 7 verse 5 says, his brothers did not believe Jesus Christ, their older brother. But he was basically saying the truth, and James did not believe it. Now, when we come, when we understand, and as we go down, the scholars agree that the author James, you know, we already mentioned about that he was the firstborn, and he was a half brother. He was the firstborn son of Mary and Joseph, but he remained a skeptic. He was skeptical about what Jesus had to offer until the moment when Jesus appeared to James after the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:7 says, after the Lord Jesus rose up, he appeared to the 500 people. And then it says, as you read that chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 7, it says, he specifies the name of James. He appears to James and to the other people. So the Bible scholars believe that at the point when Jesus appeared to James, he became a believer of Jesus Christ. And actually he became such a great believer that he became a church leader of the church in Jerusalem. I don't know how many of you remember, but there was a Jerusalem council mentioned in Acts chapter 15. And there James was an elder. He was a prominent, he played a prominent part in resolving an issue. Acts chapter 15 verse 13, where James is speaking about this matter. So James was an elder. He became a leader of the church. Now look at this. He is writing a general with Jesus, he doesn't say I am a half brother of Jesus. He says that I am a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he recognizes his real relationship with Jesus as spiritual, the way that he addressed him as Lord. Even though he was a half brother, he addressed Jesus as Lord. And also he understood his relationship with other people when he addresses them as my brothers. Look to verse number 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. So his relationship to God, that he looked at himself as a bond servant and he looked to other people as brothers. You know, many times we should have the same attitude. We need to be like a servant, having the same mind of Christ. When we are coming before God, say, Lord, I am your servant, I am your love slave, I am a bond servant. But to the others, we should be towards them as brothers and sisters. That is why God has put us in this family in such a manner. Now, I will give you a brief overview of the book. You know, the theme of the book of James says like this: genuine faith produces genuine works. This is a theme of the book of James. The key verse is James chapter 2 and verse number 14. It says like this: what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? This is the question that James is bringing out to the people and say, okay, you all believe that Jesus is the Lord. Okay, I also believe, but what will that belief do? Because in a portion of the Bible, we read that the devil also believes and trembles. So are we better than the devil? Because the devil believes, the devil trembles, but the devil does not do what God wants them to do. For us, we believe we need to go outside and let our faith produce the works that God has for us. If the faith is the root, the works is the fruit. And there is no evidence in our life if the fruit is not shown to other people. And the fruit that we need to produce is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. We know that in Galatians is written, love, joy, peace. We need to produce the fruit in our life. And that is the evidence of the faith that we believe. Because if you don't produce fruit, you know, one day God is going to come and cut us and say, what did you do all these years? You were using up the manure, you're using up the soil, you used up everything, but where is the fruit in your life? And this is what James is asking us. So real faith, you know, genuine faith should produce genuine works. And this is, our faith should be accompanied by works. Very quickly, let me give you the overview of the chapters. The chapter number 1, it says that genuine faith produces stability. We should be stable in our Christian walk. We cannot be like up and down. One day we are in the heights, the next day we are in the dumps. No. James says you need to be stable if you have genuine faith in your life. And there are 3 examples that he gives, verses 2 to 12. Life trials causes real faith to emerge. 13 to 16 says, hold fast to faith when you get tempted. When temptation comes in your life, hold fast to your faith. And verses 17 to 27 says, confirm to the truth of the scripture. So we need to have a stability in our personal life. Chapter 2 says that when genuine faith is applied, it produces genuine love. This is the byproduct or the end result of the faith that should come in our life. When faith descends in our heart through the word of God, the ultimate byproduct is that we love others. We love our enemies. We love people who hurt us. We love our friends. We love everyone because God is love and we are the children of God. Amen. How many of you agree with me? Praise the Lord. If you say that you are a child of God and there is no love out of your life, what kind of faith are you speaking about? And this is what James says. When real faith is applied, it should produce genuine love. When we are crushed in the wine press of life, love is the sweet juice that should flow out from our lives to other people. Verses 1 to 13 says, real faith fights against prejudice. When somebody puts you down, for whatever reason, show that Christian love to other people. It also fights against indifference, verses 14 to 20. And it fights against dry intellectual beliefs, verses 21 to 26. Many times, all we know is in our head. Nothing comes in our heart. And nothing is translated into words. James is very much against that. We will go into details later on as we go through those chapters. Let me come to the next section, which is chapters 3 and 4. Genuine faith is expressed with control and humility and not arrogance or not pride. Genuine faith that we have should be expressed with control and humility and not arrogance. You know, when we say that we are the children of God, and when we say that we are people of faith, we should be more and more and more humble as we move forward. Maybe some of you are very well educated, or some of you have a lot of money, or somebody, or some of you have a lot of experience maybe. Maybe you came out of seven generations of pastors, but let me tell you that when we come into God's presence, if we are truly the men and women of God, it should produce humility in our life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are different ways how we can express our faith. In chapter 3 verse 1 to 12, you can express it through your words. Chapters 3 verse 13 to 4 verse 12, you can express it through your emotions. And chapter 4 verses 13 to 17, you can express it by your choice. So different ways how you can express the faith that is there in your life. Finally, the fifth chapter is that when genuine faith is tested, it does not panic but produces patience. End of the day, when our faith is tested, when we go through that grill of problems and difficulties, when you move out to the colleges and schools, there will be problems in your life when you stand for God. But when that happens, don't panic. Don't get frustrated, but trust in God that God will give you the patience in your life. Hallelujah. James has illustrated in different ways. You know, that verse in chapter, that's the one that really struck me. Chapter 5, verse number 7, James says, therefore be patient, brethren. End of the day, what we need is to be patient. And patient in the presence of God. James has illustrated in different situations how we deal with money matters. Verses 1 to 12 speaks about how we are accountable to God through money matters. 1 to 12. How we deal with sickness. What do we do when somebody gets sick? Verses 13 to 18. And then finally, in verses 19 to 20, what do we do with a fellow Christian who is not walking with God? How do we approach them? We are going to go into all the details. I was just giving you a brief overview of the book of James. And I wanted to make a case. Many times we, as Malayali Pentecostals, born into a Pentecostal family, we believe a lot of things, but it is not producing in our work, in our lives. Especially the love. I am guilty myself. I am not condemning anybody. I am looking at myself and say, Lord, I am your child. Does the love come out in my words, in my deeds? Many times I fall so much short and I come to God and ask forgiveness. And that is what we need to do today. As I'm going to close, let me bring about four different spiritual applications and I'm going to close it here. We should work towards practical holiness every day. Every day. I would tell every one of you, go to God's presence every day. Ask God, Lord, forgive my sins. Make me holy. Help me to walk with you. So we need to do that. We should work towards practical holiness every day. Number two, we should practice faith that works. Practical faith. We will look into that. And we will go into details later. But we should go towards practical faith. Third, we should practice self-control, humility, and patience. Three things. This week, I want to challenge each and every one of you, especially the young people who can understand every word that I'm speaking to you. Practice self-control. What is self-control? When somebody says something wrong, don't immediately jump and say something back to them. Hold yourself. Trust in God. Jesus says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Sometimes we just need to shut up and let the person have the say. Just be humble, because God will raise us when we are humble. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We need to be humble before God. Even though we may be well educated, but we don't know anything what God knows. Hallelujah. We need to be patient as well. Finally, let us do what we say and say what we do. Praise the Lord. Let us do what we say. Let us practice what we preach and say what we do. Can we just close our eyes? As I'm just requesting the choir to come forward. Let us just close our eyes. As you're seated there, let us just close your eyes, each one of you. I want you to honestly look into your heart today. Hallelujah. Many times we preach sermons, we hear messages, but there is no output from our lives. And God is looking at it every time we are hearing the messages. Let us be practical minded people, because God wants us to practice our faith in our everyday life. Can we just surrender ourselves and say, Lord, here am I. This week, Lord, help me to practice what I believe. Let me make my faith in action every day, every moment of my life. Let me practice humility and patience and self-control. Let me be like you, Jesus. If you were in my shoes, how would you react? Let me react the same way to other people. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for speaking to us from this word. I pray that this word has touched every heart this morning. I pray that you continue to work in our lives, Lord, that we may be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.